Adrian brought us.
And with that, we welcome you back to the show here on a Monday afternoon. 4:22 now the time. For those of you that went out to the UTEP spring game and garage sale, hope you had a great 4:20. I'm sure you did. Probably before and after the event. No doubt about it. But for those of you that did not get a chance to make it out there, don't worry, we've got you covered. If you missed Minor Talk on Saturday after the game, you can always listen to that on our podcast and hear everything that was said about the spring experience and also the garage sale. We'll also give you some thoughts on that today with Adrian Broaddus back across the glass and Alberto Urueta. I'm Steve Kaplowitz. This is Adrian's, really, it's going to be an interesting week for Adrian. He's flying tomorrow to Detroit. He's going to spend the remainder of the week in Detroit, although there is the possibility, I'm hearing, of him coming back Friday for Friday's show.
That's right.
Is that confirmed, or is that still up in the air right now?
That is confirmed. I should be back here in El Paso around 11 o'clock on Friday, so catching an early flight on Friday from Detroit after the first round wraps up on Thursday. And so, yeah, between Friday and Saturday, Steve, we'll get a chance to see if and when former Miners get drafted, like linebacker Tyrese Knight. And don't forget about former wide receiver Jacob Cowing.
That's right. That is right. I'm excited about all that. I know you're excited about going to Detroit. It's going to be your first trip, right?
Yes, first trip out to Detroit. Very excited. Motor City. I've seen all the different things that they have lined up. I'll tell you this, Steve. When we went to Vegas 2 years ago for the 2021 draft, I remember the list of athletes and draft guys or draft eligible guys who were there and made available to media. It was everybody pretty much in the first round.
Right.
This time around, there's 13 guys who are projected to be in the first round. So,
okay, well, it's Detroit, not Vegas.
I would say it's about cut in half. Exactly. It's Detroit, not Vegas. It will be a select group. It's all the main guys, so all the quarterbacks that you could think of in the first round or who could go in the first round, they'll be there. It's just not the full complement of people like you maybe have seen 2 years ago, but we're still very excited. We're hoping to have some NFL Network guests join us Wednesday, do some pre-taped interviews then. Foss is already working on some guests as well, Chris as well. And so, yeah, we're looking forward to everything happening Detroit this week.
Well, you know, next year it's at Lambeau.
Oh, I didn't know this.
Lambeau Field for the draft.
Okay. Wow, I didn't know that.
I might have to go back for that one because I was there once, and I was there when they were on the road. It was for a wedding. My former sports talk producer Jeff Flint got married, and it was in the wedding was at Appleton, Wisconsin. So we drove up the next day and spent a day out in Green Bay. They were playing Seattle on the road, but we took the tour, did all that. Watched, had lunch in Lambeau, and I'm thinking, well, that's pretty cool because if they do the draft at Lambeau Field, that should be fun too.
That is really neat. I did not know that it will be there. What a historic place to have it.
Yep.
I mean, I can only imagine how the whole city of Green Bay will rally around the draft next year. And, could you imagine if they have a really good pick and that one means a lot to them as well? Like, it sounds really exciting to see next year Lambeau for the NFL draft.
And by the way, like, I'm looking right now at the forecast in Green Bay, Wisconsin this week because they would do it obviously the same time next year. I mean, today it's 66 and windy. Tomorrow it's 65 and raining. The next day it's 48. That's the high. Then 57, 57, 76. The weather is all over the place this time of year at Lambeau Field. You don't know if it's going to be raining. You don't know if it's going to be nice out. I like that. I like the fact that they're going to have the draft next year at a place that could be the most unpredictable weather in the country with no roof on the facility. Nice.
That's a little scary there, Steve. Maybe we get lucky next year and it won't be as brutal. You know,
we'll see.
Hopefully.
We will see. But nonetheless, we are going to have our full draft coverage with both Adrian, the Foss, Chris Fernandez. They're going to be all out there. Really, for us, Wednesday and Thursday. And the beauty is we're going to have full three-hour shows on Wednesday and Thursday. So pretty much three-hour shows all week. We're excited about that. And the best part is that Wednesday and Thursday, the final hour of the show will be all the guys in Detroit. I will be stepping back, letting them take the show over. Well, I'll be there for the first couple of hours, but then the 6 o'clock hour, which is draft night on really Wednesday, well, Thursday for sure, but Wednesday as well. You guys are going to have a lot to cover on the show, and I'm excited about the fact that you'll be able to react in real time during the last hour as we get ready for the Chihuahuas that night.
Yeah, me too. I'm really excited about it. We've already been asked by Foss, can he come back on the show Friday? And I'm like, let's get you on the show first off on Wednesday and Thursday, and let's take flight, and then maybe we'll talk about, you know, a whole wrap-up on Friday. So a lot of NFL draft nonetheless this week. Special thanks to our presenting sponsors for this, the Oscar Adietta Agency and Hills Automotive Center, for making this happen. So we're really excited about this entire week, and yeah, it's draft week, Steve. Let's see how it goes.
Man, it's great having friends in the business, that's for sure. And now you've got some really good friends in Oscar and Hills Automotive.
That's
great.
Right.
They're helping to send you out to Detroit, which, by the way, you got to be just jacked up. That's going to be pretty cool because you didn't go last year. Now you're back this year. So, you know, having a chance to go see Detroit, be a part of the draft, that's a big thing.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I would also say this is a great opportunity for myself to just visit the city. My family lives very close by, my aunt. So she's also my godmother. So she's always begged for anybody in our whole family to come out to visit her. I think I'm the first one of our entire family to actually make the trip out to Detroit to visit her. So I think she's just real appreciative that I chose the city to you know what? If you're going to give me a place to stay, she said I could borrow a car. Like,
really?
I'm good, man.
Oh, you can. In other words, Fawson is going to be mooching off you this time around.
Oh, you know it. I'm paying back all those rides that we got from them from the Super Bowl.
You know, I'm happy you're flying back Friday to be here for the show. But just so you know, the Tigers host the Royals at 1 o'clock Eastern time on Friday, like a day game. So you could have actually figured out a way to go to Comerica for the afternoon and then done the show and then come back on Saturday.
My uncle over there has a connect at Comerica. And
seriously?
He was saying, like, you know, hey, well, let's try to catch a game. You know, I got great seats. I can give you a great experience. He's a diehard Tigers fan, so he's like excited because they've started off a little better than usual. So yeah, he was trying to get me out there at a game.
Was it a difficult decision to move your trip back to come back here Friday rather than go see a Tigers game? Because here's the thing for me. Whenever I go to a city and there's ball going on and I've never been to that ballpark, it is a guarantee that I will be watching baseball. Like, that's just the way it is, because that's how I've grown up. I've grown up around a family that's planned vacations, family outings around baseball and sporting events.
It's definitely going to be weird. I think I'll get all the fixing from the football side of it, too, because I'm the same way. Like, whenever, if there's live sports, period. I mean, if it's a Pistons game, you tell me there's hockey in town or something like that, I would jump at the opportunity. So, yeah, it's going to be a little weird knowing that we'll be out there not getting necessarily maybe a chance to watch some baseball. Definitely made the decision a little bit more difficult. They told me, hey, you stay Friday, Saturday, we'll take you all around the city and show you everything. So
really,
yeah, I had to politely turn that down just to come back here. It's a little, you know, I need to get back here, but it's all good, and I'm happy that we're even making the trip out to begin with.
Hey, that's the most important part. The fact that you're going, that's big time. That is big time. So, and I'm happy you'll be back. But understand this, and I mean this very sincerely. If I was on this trip with you, we would be going back on Saturday, not on Friday. We would be at Comerica Park on Friday. We'd be watching a Tigers game, crossing that off the list, and then coming back and talking about it on Saturday after we do Sports Talk Friday.
Yeah, you're making me regret the decision a little bit here, because I've heard great things about Comerica, Steve.
Let me tell you something, okay? This is the honest to God truth. You originally planned to come back on Saturday.
Sunday.
You changed to Friday. You can always change back to Saturday and go to the ball game on Friday. I'm just telling you this, not because I don't want to see you in studio Friday, I do, but I'm just telling you this as somebody who's hosted this show for a long time and visited more than half of big league ballparks around the country. If you've got an opportunity and your uncle's got a tie-in and it's not going to cost you anything extra, come back on Saturday. Do the show Friday after the Tigers game. Then you can talk about the Tigers game on air. And then when we start at 4, lead it off. And you could give us the full review of Comerica Park, do the Tiger wrap-up, and then get ready for the draft day 2.
That's a really good idea. I think that it definitely, you know what? We'll call it fluid plans. We'll see how the whole week goes.
Perfect.
And if there's an opportunity to come back a different day, then maybe we'll take advantage of it.
Okay, good. I want you to get, especially if you can get to the park.
Yeah.
And you can, and you've got somebody who's willing to like go all out to get you there and help you that. And you've got a ride and lodging and all that. And it's just one extra day. Take the trip. But that's just me.
They also told me, hey, Saturday, we're trying to get reservations because the big house is having stadium tours and stuff like that. And I was
you know what?
We're taking the wrong person. Lane Frank would have been all over this. But, you know, I'm not as excited to see the big,
listen,
even though that's historic, right?
I'm not,
a 100,000 seat arena or stadium, I should say, for Michigan. It would be hard to pass that up, too.
Let me say this, okay? Knowing Lane the way I do and knowing that coming up in 2024, they are hosting Texas on September 7th. If Lane Frank tells me, Steve, we're taking you to the big house to go watch Texas and Michigan,
yeah,
I will say thank you very much. Count me in. I'm there. Because
that's a
stadium just like Notre Dame. Never been. Heard great things. You know, Ohio State, Michigan, the Horseshoe, the Big House, those are all places. Got to check that off the sports bucket list one of these days.
They say it's about a 45-minute drive, but it's beautiful. Mm. And it's also like once you're there, it's almost like a Lambo type of thing. Once you're there, the whole city and the whole community rallies around it.
Sounds amazing.
And they say that you have to book in advance to get these stadium tours too, because they're very, very specific and in-depth.
I love it. All right. We spent the whole first segment talking about Detroit, what our coverage is going to be like for the NFL draft. And a lot of you are tuning in going, what the hell? You're not talking about the spring game? You're not talking about the garage sale? Oh, yes. We are going to spend plenty, and I mean plenty of time in this first hour, talking about the UTEP spring game and the garage sale. That line wrapped around the entire concourse as I was leaving Saturday, I have never seen anything like that before. Ever. Ever. So we'll talk about that when we come back. Plus, of the three of us, Alberto is the only one who actually bought something, and that's because he went back after Minor Talk ended to go. I was not ready to risk the waiting 2 hours in line. Alberto was the smart one. He came back here, did the show with you, and then he went. What did Alberto buy? We will find out next. Also, our thoughts on the spring game. I've got plenty to talk about. And I know Adrian does as well, because if you missed him on Minor Talk, we'll recap that for you coming up. If you were there and you want to discuss it, 505-6009. That is our telephone number. More in a moment, but first let's go to Charlie One. He's standing by with this traffic update. Back here on Sports Talk as we continue. 505-6009, that is our telephone number. 600-ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X. Let's check out some of the messages here. Eric, the number 48, talking about the NFL draft, says, don't forget about offensive lineman Klein getting drafted. Yeah, there's a chance Elijah Klein hears his name on draft day. He had a great workout, terrific pro day, and you never know. Elijah Klein could be a day three draftee.
Yeah, I feel like UTEP's got a couple fringe guys who could be day three guys. I would not count out, and a lot of people listen to this and they'll just roll their eyes immediately, wouldn't count out Gavin Hardison in this discussion either, because, look, he's had legit meetings with teams. He just met with Green Bay last week. The week before, he met with the Raiders. When you're talking about draft-eligible quarterbacks, in typical years, you're talking about like 30 to 40 guys. This year, that number is closer to 25. So if that's the case, if there's not a lot of draft-eligible quarterbacks, maybe some team will take a flyer on Hardison.
Could be. I mean, he already worked out with the Green Bay Packers, right?
That's right. He had that meeting. That's exactly right.
So it could be. You never know. Eric also followed up with this tweet. I don't blame Adrian. I'm sure he wants to get home to his wife earlier. Look.
True.
No, it's not true, and I'm going to tell you why. Your wife is so busy with the UTEP Dinner Theater and the production she's got of Legally Blonde, you know, you're not even seeing her right now for like the next month. She's performing almost all the time. When she's not performing, she's teaching at school. Then she's rehearsing. You're not. How was opening night, by the way, when you went to Legally Blonde?
I'm biased, but it was fantastic. The whole show was really her. It was great. Like, she hardly came off the stage.
Did she kill it?
She killed it.
How was the dog?
10 out of 10. Dog was amazing.
Really?
I went twice already. So I went Friday opening night, and then I went Sunday just yesterday. So
oh, that's good.
It was fantastic. I love the opening weekend.
Nice.
Great response all around. So, yeah, good stuff. By the way, I do want to come back home, but it's not necessarily for the wife. Well, it is for the wife, but it's to help out around
the house. There was a slip.
Help out around the house because she's so busy.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yes, yes. So that does stay behind, you know, in the back of my mind.
Did she guilt you into coming in early?
No. She said, hey, take as long, you know, come back Sunday. It's all good.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes, that's she was supportive. Nice.
By the way, what are they serving for the UTEP dinner?
Oh, that's the name. That's the number one question, right?
Because
salad initially, I'd say the salad, if you had to rate it out of 10, maybe 6.
Okay,
you know?
Well, that's usually about right at the dinner theater.
Chicken for the entree, which was fantastic. A little like jalapeno avocado lime sauce that's on top of it, like creamy. It's like a creamy chicken. Mine was very tasty both nights with a lot of veggies and potatoes on the side. So that I would rate 8 out of 10. The dessert took everything. Tres leches cake, and that was a 9 out of 10.
So the tres leches was like the star of the show.
It was the star of the show, and they served it with coffee too. So
make sure
you ask for the coffee.
Okay, it sounds like a winner.
Yeah, it's gonna be a lot. I think you'll enjoy it. I think you'll like it.
For me, it's May 11th. I'm going May 11th. They extended the run. And we already have our tickets, so I'm excited about that. You're going to be there, too, that night.
I will, yes. I hope I can go multiple times. Trying to get tickets for this week. I mean, they're all kind of sold out. So a lot of people are saying, oh, I can't wait to see it. And I'm like, oh, if you haven't got your tickets by now, you know, it's going to be a little difficult.
It's a popular show.
Right.
It really is a popular show. So let's see here. What else do we have? Eddie Morelos, talking college football in April. Still love it. Wondering what your takes are after attending the bowl season meetings last week. What do you think about the future of college football and college football bowl games? Good question, Eddie. Good question. Number one, we loved being at the bowl meetings. Loved it. And from what we were told, because I had a chance to see Joe Daubach from the Sun Bowl yesterday at Walmart when we were shopping. Joe told me, Albertsons. Oh, that's where I was. I wasn't at Walmart. I was at Albertsons. I get, you know what? I go so many places shopping, I sometimes get confused where I go.
They all blend, right?
I mean, seriously, I shop at Sprouts. I shop at Walmart. I shop at Albertsons. I'll shop at Food King. It just depends on what I'm looking for. I shop at Vista. I go everywhere. I've shopped at Food City. I've traveled to the other side of town if I need something.
Nice. Yeah, you keep it inclusive.
I do. So because I go so many places, I forget. And then, of course, I go to Sam's and Costco and everything else. So it's like yesterday was a big shop day and I forgot where I was. But I did see Joe. Joe said that the reaction from the bowl games about the media that covered this particular event, he said everybody was blown away because in the 20 plus years they've done this, nobody has ever had media attending these meetings, let alone a station broadcasting live and putting executive directors on the broadcast. So they were so blown away by how El Paso covered these meetings, they couldn't stop talking about it.
I'm so happy about that, Steve. I think the bowl season, the bowl annual meetings were fantastic. I thought the host committee did a great job. I just think that the more awareness should be created for this. Like, I want people to go back and listen to our archives for all the different bowl representatives that we got to talk to and stuff like that. To Eddie's second question, like, what about the future of college football? I'll say this. I think everybody kind of hinted at things like NIL, whether they like the idea of NIL for bowl games or not necessarily the idea for NIL. For bowl games, and I think either way it's going to have to be embraced by the committee as a whole. Like, you can't go one way or another. You can't have the Sun Bowl paying people NIL dollars and the New Mexico Bowl saying no way, we're not going to pay our players for this.
And I don't remember which bowl director we talked to, because there were so many of them. We did float the idea of moving it to a preseason bowl game, and from what I recall, even though he mentioned that it had been thought about, they were kind of lukewarm on that idea. Nobody was ready to just suddenly endorse, hey, let's move all the bowl games. That way we start the season off with them rather than end the season.
Right, and it seems like money ticket sales are still atop the, I guess, kind of, you know, top of mind for everybody across the board. So when you're talking about preseason bowl games, yeah, that could be factor into that too. Like, how could you make some money and legit money if you had these non-conference matchups or whatever play in this bowl game before the season started?
It's a good point. Really good point. But great stuff. We enjoyed being out there, and it was terrific. Terrific stuff. All right. Let's see here. Next question that is coming in, and let's see here. All right. This comes from Angry Dana Dimmel on Twitter and X. He mentioned, or she, because it could be a he or a she, we don't know. It just says Angry Dana Dimmel. I guess it's a he because it's Angry Dana.
This was Angry Mike Price before, right? This was not always Angry Dana Dimmel?
I think so. Is it possible that the Twitter handle is going to be changed to Angry Scotty Walden soon?
Possibly. Possibly so.
But he's like never angry, which is why, and neither is Dana. That's why it'll be such a funny Twitter and X handle.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Dana was the most cheerful guy. Even when they were suffering, hitting adversity, he would always find a way to spin positivity, and I've never seen Scotty Walden frown or anything like that.
Right. Angry Dana Dimmel mentions, was not surprised at how many leftover game jerseys were left at the garage sale. $100 was far from a garage sale price and closer to an auction. UTEP needs to learn from this. Now, listen, I get it when you say garage sale price, because it's, listen, the truth is this, okay? I don't know about you, Adrian, and you, Alberto, but like when I go to a garage, like when I am selling in a garage sale, I'm practically giving the stuff away. I really am. Like, my prices are so cheap, it's ridiculous. And then I'm always left pondering, did we go too low after everything sells out in like 15 or 20 minutes? And basically all that's left is just the stuff that nobody wants. So at least that's my garage sale take, is that sometimes we underprice things as far as just our household items. Now, I don't want to even talk about this garage sale yet, but is that kind of your experience too, that when you have it, you're always thinking, okay, I want to move this stuff. What's the most I can make, but I know I'm going to sell it, and that's kind of how you set your price?
Yeah, I think I'll answer the question with the story. I was raised in a household where my dad, for garage sales, we'd have like maybe a yearly one, or you know, yep, every 2 years, whatever. There was one time I remember this one very well. We all set up and we all got ready to go. Somebody came like at the crack of dawn and asked, hey, how much for almost everything? And my dad was like, you know, name the price. And they said, yeah, they were down for it. And we wrapped up the garage sale before it really even started. And it made you think, like, did you go a little too low? Or yeah, were you happy with that cost right there, what it was? And I think my philosophy is, as long as you're able to get it out of the building and able to get some money in, it's a success. So for this one, the Angry Dana Dimmel comment right here, was $100 too much for jerseys? I don't necessarily think so, because they're Nike swoosh jerseys or game worn jerseys. So I would probably pay that price for it. So
let me say this too, okay? And that is the truth. And by the way, I've got a funny garage sale story too. One year, I forget what we were selling, but we had such a large crowd because my wife used to advertise years and years ago on Craigslist as well as in the newspaper.
Scary, yeah.
So one year before the garage sale started, we had like 20 people at the door before I even opened it up.
Really?
Yes. And then when the door started opening, I kid you not, one of them hit the deck and rolled under the door. So as the door was coming up, he actually like rolled in to try to beat everybody else to the table on their way in. I've never seen that before. I'll probably never see that again. But someone actually was rolling in as the door was opening up. So that was crazy.
I can't believe that story, Steve. I mean, was it worth it for them? Did they go out with the refrigerator? Did they go out with a couch or like, something like that?
I don't even remember what we were selling that day. Like, I was trying to think, like, maybe there were tons of shoes and everything. It was back when, you know, everybody still loves shoes. That's a very, very big sales pitch point. But, I mean, we had something that was so popular that, yes, that's what they did. They completely hit the deck. All right. We got an EAS update, which means only one thing. SportsCenter, bottom of the hour. We'll come back with more in a moment. Here's Adrian with the latest, 600 ESPN El Paso. situation involving the pricing of the jerseys that was brought up earlier about the $100 from Angry Dana Dimble being too much. Here's my take on this, okay? When you go to the UTEP bookstore, replica jerseys are $100. A replica is $100. These are jerseys, A, you will never get again. B, they're gamers, game-worn stuff. And to me, a game-worn jersey is clearly worth $100 in just the scope of what it is. You're probably going to frame it. You could get it signed. It could go on eBay. In fact, I haven't even looked on eBay, but there's probably a really good chance that there's plenty of stuff from the UTEP garage sale already on eBay, OfferUp, Craigslist, Facebook Marketplace, and all these things. So chances are that's happening. Now, I do get it because, as Angry Dana Dimble pointed out, the quote-unquote garage sale price is not the definition of garage sale. But the truth is that if you go anywhere for game use, number one, you can't get game use stuff. Most universities don't even offer it to fans, period. And knowing that you could have purchased anywhere from game use, you know, 30-year-old jerseys all the way through till just 2 years ago and get those for $100 a pop for football, to me, that's a really good price, especially when they had basketball gamers for $75. Like, it wasn't like all the jerseys were $100, just football. Adrian, I feel like that's a value. That's a buy. That's something that a lot of football fans want. Everybody wants game-used merch, and I don't think anybody was really hesitating on $100.
Right, and I think, you know, I'd be curious to hear from those who did not end up getting the jersey, like the football jersey, and maybe they were there only for the football jersey, because those people, I mean, let's just be honest, Steve, we saw those jerseys. You can't necessarily wear them. These are jerseys you hang in your office. These are jerseys that you display in your man cave. You get somebody to sign them and stuff like that. But these aren't necessarily the jerseys that you're going to wear out unless, you know, you really want to do something like that. But right. They're not meant to necessarily wear out. So I feel like for those fans who might be a little down on the price and all that kind of stuff, just realize, you know, these jerseys aren't necessarily meant to wear. Now, if you're still saying, all right, $100, still too much for the game-worn jerseys, that is your thought and your opinion. No problem about it. I'll just point out $15 hats. I think that's really affordable. They had some quality hats. $25 for polos. You know, you had quarter zips for $25, hoodies for $30. I think that's all affordable right there. That's probably more toward the garage sale price that he's talking about.
No, you're right. Quarter zips were like $25. You know, they had, I thought the prices were spot on, to be honest with you. And I thought they were fair. So, you know, it's, in fact, I mean, you're just not going to find stuff like this very often if you try other places. It's just not going to happen. But nonetheless, hey, for people that did take advantage, congratulations. For those of you that did not, and I'm looking at the full price list right now. I mean, they had used shirts for $5, used jackets for $10, used pants for $10, used shoes and cleats for $10, socks for $5, chin straps $5, wristbands $5, new t-shirts $10, hats $15, new long sleeve shirts $15, new shorts $15, beanies $15, sweatshirts $20, football pants $20, track tights $20. Football gloves, $25, polos, $25, sweatpants, $25, quarter zips, $25, hoodies, sweaters, new shoes were $30, jackets, backpacks, $35, new cleats, duffel bags, $40, softball jersey, volleyball jersey, soccer jersey, $50, basketball jersey, $75, football retro, $75, football jerseys, $100. I thought those were fair prices. I really did. I'm not going to argue that stuff.
Yeah, and I see that Leo _ Miners fan already posts on Twitter and X like a picture of people who are already selling or have even brought up selling some other ones like basketball jerseys, like Stitch basketball jerseys. And these are going for a pretty penny, Steve.
Oh, yeah.
And Alberto was telling me back here that there's already been some that have popped up on like Facebook Marketplace and stuff like that. So, yeah, as far as the resellers go, they're already at it.
Alberto, how did you make out at the garage sale since you were the only one to actually get in and purchase?
I had a good haul. Oh, look, I just opened up Facebook, $30 UTEP backpack. Anyway, no, I had a good haul. I got two UTEP soccer parkas, which is really what I wanted. And then I got some sweats. You saw those Jordan sweats. They were really nice. I had a great time there at the garage sale. And I even caught them saying or quoting exactly what was happening and what they needed to do. The UTEP brass, you could hear them saying, guys, let's start putting stuff away because mm-hmm. the more – that we let people just look through things, they'll be here all day. And that's true. Yep. That they stopped me from buying hundreds of dollars of more UTEP gear.
Well, listen, the fact you got in and got stuff, you did good. And it sounds like you came out pretty well, too. $100 and you're in.
Yeah, I feel really satisfied with what I got. And look, just to comment really on what Angry Dana Dimmel said, look, dude, I understand where you're coming from. $100, that's a hefty price. I didn't buy one for that reason. But also to say that they're not adequately priced, that's just a falsehood, you know. I worked in the retail space. I can tell you that those jerseys will retail for anywhere above $300. An NFL jersey that fits the way that those jerseys fit is going to cost you north of $250. So the $100 is worth every penny. They're game worn, and the money goes to a good cause. So I think that the garage sale, they hit it out of the park there, and I'm excited to see where the surplus goes so I can go over there and do some more damage to my bank account.
There you go. That's good. I feel like what they're going to do is they're going to take all the leftover stuff and have another sale maybe next year after the spring game or do it another time. They have enough to do another run of this and be fine. They really do. So let me take a little phone call. Gator Richard's going to be chiming in 39 past the hour as Sports Talk continues. Go Gators.
Go Gators, man. How you doing?
I'm all right, man. How are you?
Good. Hey, draft's coming up, right?
Yep.
Okay. So this is a question for you and young Sheldon. He's around.
He is.
Okay. So you got a new NFL head coach, Airball. What do you think the chances of him picking his first round draft pick? Somebody like, say, from Ohio State, like that Harrison kid?
I mean, here's the thing about the Chargers. I know you're laughing, but the truth is,
yeah,
is that,
well,
you know, the Chargers pick fifth. And I'm going to tell you right now, if Marvin Harrison Jr. is on the board at five, the Chargers are probably taking him. I mean, I would. And I guarantee you this, so will Hairball.
So whatever happened with Hairball's case, remember he wanted his day in court and all that. All that's like Knicks, correct?
Well, he's now coaching in the NFL. That's the easy way out.
Okay, so yeah, the coward way out. So here's the other thing. I mean, the NCAA came out and they said, you don't want to go there with us because we already got evidence of one of your coaches trying to delete emails. The guy's guilty as hell. And I'm waiting to see what exactly they're going to do to this Michigan football. Are they going to give him the kiss of death? That's what they deserve.
You know the answer to that. You know that's not happening, please.
Well, what do you think's going to happen?
Nothing.
I mean, they were caught dead to rights cheating.
Nothing's going to happen.
They started the season out suspending in-house suspension. Then they suspended him again, okay? And they got evidence now of one of their coaches actually, you know, trying to delete emails and muddy up the waters, whatever. I'm just saying, if this was any other school, right, Michigan, they need to face some music. And I'm interested in your take on that. I mean, I know it's not football season just yet. But I'm thinking they need to be taught a lesson and made an example of.
All right. Do you think there's any chance, Adrian, that that's going to happen? Are they going to teach Michigan a lesson and make an example out of them when this whole thing, when all the smoke clears?
If they had an opportunity to do so while Michigan was on their run to get a national championship and win a national championship, and they really didn't. I mean, Harbaugh was reinstated by the Big Ten championship game. He played in the, or he coached in the first round of the college football playoff, and then coached in the national championship game. So if they really thought that they could come down on the program, you come down on them when it really matters, and that's the Big Ten championship in the college football playoffs, and they didn't. So I don't know, man. I don't think that because of all the regime changes, because there's no one there from before, because it kind of got swept under the rug during the season, there might not be anything that actually comes out of this. And I don't necessarily think that's a right or wrong thing. It just is what it is right there for NCAA. It tells you that the NCAA, when it comes to investigations, they're all over the place.
Yeah, they are. And the truth is, think about how much power Michigan has in college athletics, and how they would fight the NCAA if they try to mess with that university.
Not to mention, if something ends up happening to them, then what? Everybody looks at the college football playoff and says, wait a second, your team that just came off a national title, just coming off all these recruiting infractions and stuff like that, they have to be suspended X amount of scholarships for the next couple of years, because that's what you really do when you put any kind of infractions on a program, right?
Plus, the truth is this. The way NIL is right now with collectives, you can't commit NCAA recruiting infractions, because the NIL has made everything one giant infraction. So you can't tell me that in today's deal, where you've got individuals going from school to school for cash and recruits getting paid an exorbitant amount of money to sign with certain programs, that you can actually now commit recruiting violations. Please, that ended as soon as NIL started.
I agree with Richard to the extent of, I think there are other programs who do get the axe in this case. And Michigan, because of where they were and because of who their coaches were, stuff like that, they didn't necessarily face a lot of consequences from this. Harbaugh had to sit out some games, and the team protested while he was sitting out as well.
Good question. Appreciate you, Richard. We'll come back, wrap up hour one of three. Four is across the board. Sports Talk continues, 600 ESPN El Paso. Week working on the unpacking, placement, finding things, and then he gets mistaken for Dana Dimmel sitting out in the end zone watching the spring game at one point. Somebody actually thought that Dana was there in disguise by himself and took a photo from, gosh, I don't know, from like the other side of the stadium and said, look, it's Dana Dimmel. And Danny's like, wait, that's me. You found me. So it was quite a week for Danny.
Oh, I know. And Danny did a great job putting that garage sale together, and the whole team out at Utah. I mean, they did a great job on all of it. And there's things that they learned from the first time around that I think they implemented this time around. And then I'm curious to see how the third one, if it ends up happening, how that one ends up going and what they learned from this time around that they want to bring next time. But that video was hilarious. UTEP News was on fire. You talk about a good weekend.
My God.
UTEP News, shout out to Anthony over there for UTEP News. He did a great job.
UTEP News and our pal Ivan at El Paso Visuals Deportivos, they should be in next year's
tug of war.
Tug of war. That would be great. On one end, you've got Ivan. On the other side, you've got Anthony. And those two would do a terrific job going against each other. There's like legitimate wrestling heat between those two. It's hilarious. And yes, the battle started on Twitter and X over the weekend. It continued today, even to the point where this was really funny. Dave Campbell grabbed one of Ivan's videos that he put. And at that point, what happened was UTEP News said, no, Dave Campbell, you can't use Ivan's stuff without paying for it, sir. And it was just very entertaining. It's like, come on, those guys got into it. And sometimes I feel like it's just for our enjoyment and pleasure, don't you? Like, just to give us a good laugh.
I feel like after, like, a UTEP event, everybody's always starving for, like, the little controversy. And sometimes it's guys like Jacob Cooksey. Sometimes it's UTEP Minetto saying something that's a little controversial. But then this weekend, it was Sideline Sports and UTEP News versus Ivan Pierre Aguirre. I did not anticipate that battle happening on social media over the weekend.
I didn't either, but it was hilarious. So Anyway, it just goes to show you sometimes if you follow Twitter and X, you can really get a good laugh about some of the things that are happening. So that was pretty entertaining. All right, 1 hour in the books, two to go. Stay with us. More sports talk coming up right here, 600 ESPN El Paso.
From the 600 ESPN El Paso River Oaks Property Schoolyard Sports Studio, here's Steve Kaplowitz and Adrian Broaddus.
All right, hour two of three underway. Welcome back, everybody. Getting going here on a Monday, 22nd day of April. We have eight more days left this month, and then we'll be into May. In fact, May 1st on a Wednesday. And then, before you know it, it'll be football season. Just wrapped up spring ball. Speaking of football season, the NFL draft will be starting Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Our coverage will include live reporting from Radio Row out at the NFL draft in Detroit. You could join Adrian Broaddus along with the Foss, Steve Foster, and Chris Fernandez. They are going to deliver some great coverage for us. We're super excited about them. And I think we're also going to have Mel there. You're going to have like a fourth as well.
Yeah, I was talking to Foss and Chris today about Mel Owens, who will be out there with us as well, who, by the way, played for the Rams throughout his time in some other clubs and organizations. He might see some people he knows out there for the draft, so we're going to get a chance to get some great draft stories. And I just want to ask him his draft stories. He was trying to downplay it and say, hey, look, you know, when I was drafted, not a lot that was going on. I was like, no, that's the story right there. Like, what's the set the scene? Like, what was the draft night like for you? What was that? You know, give us the stories behind that. And I think that's all real exciting and intriguing stuff to like find out from former players like Mel Owens. So the fact that we're going to have him join us throughout the coverage will be great.
Mel Owens, first off, he played at the University of Michigan. He was the ninth overall pick in the 1981 NFL draft.
Yeah, and he was saying, like, oh, it wasn't a big deal back then. And I was like, yes, that's right. It probably wasn't a big deal. It wasn't the spectacle it is today. But you were still a first-round draft pick and a top-10 overall selection. What was your pro day like? What was was that kind of the lead-up process like? How were you such a highly touted prospect? And, you know, let's talk about those stories right there.
I mean, just listen to the top 10, okay? By the way, you had George Rogers going first overall to the Saints. Lawrence Taylor goes number two to the New York Giants.
All-time great.
Freeman McNeil, third overall to the New York Jets. Kenny Easley goes fourth overall to Seattle. By the way, Easley and Taylor in the Hall of Fame. EJ Jr. goes fifth to St. Louis. Rich Campbell goes sixth to Green Bay. Hugh Green, seventh to Tampa. Ronnie Lott goes eighth to San Francisco. And then Mel Owens goes 9 to the Rams. I mean, that's a pretty good list when you think about those guys that were all drafted in that first round. By the way, Mike Singletary, that same draft, 38th overall, second round to Chicago. Howie Long, 48th overall to the Raiders. Ricky Jackson, 51st overall to New Orleans. Those are all Hall of Famers. Russ Grimm, Hall of Famer, third round to Washington from that draft. So you look at really who was selected and who ended up getting into the Hall of Fame. It's pretty remarkable when you go up and down that list, Adrian, and realize who was actually there and how many Hall of Famers came out of that draft.
Yeah, I mean, a really noteworthy draft. You talk about linebackers, a position that Mel Owens played for the Rams and throughout his career. Lawrence Taylor, Kenny Easley, EJ Jr. So you had already two other linebackers in the top 10 who went ahead of him, not to mention a Hall of Famer and all-time great like LT. Yeah, I want to hear a lot of the draft stories. I don't buy that he doesn't have a lot of draft stories. So it'll be great to catch up with Mel Owens later this week and revisit that 1981 draft.
Remember, our coverage is brought to you by the Oscar Arrieta Agency, and it's also brought to you by Hillside Automotive. So there you go. Those are Hillside Motors and Hillside Automotive, along with Oscar Arrieta. delivering our live draft coverage this year.
Yeah, super appreciative of them. And you know what? I'll say this, Steve. We'll have a great time in Detroit. It could be the first time since Quinton Demps was drafted that a UTEP defensive player gets selected in the NFL draft. So you're having to look all the way back into the late 2000s to see, you know, a UTEP defensive player being drafted. And Tyrese Knight has the ability to do so this time around.
That's true. That is very true. Once again, as we continue here on Sports Talk, all right, as much as I'll pass the visuals, as much as I would love to revisit what we talked about in the first hour, because we did talk about it pretty much at length, and I appreciate your comment right now after just tuning in, I promised you spring game wrap. We want to do that right now. So let's talk about the blue and the orange. You know, the good, the bad, the funny. Halftime was hilarious. Have you ever in your life seen any head coach who essentially belongs in a WWE ring? Let's be honest, Scotty Walden loves professional wrestling, and I do feel like there is definitely the element of professional wrestling when he gets on a microphone in front of a crowd.
Yeah, and to add to the professional wrestling aspect of it, it was entertainment. I mean, before the ball was even kicked off here for the spring game, he introduced both honorary coaches, Quinton Demps and Will Hernandez, and it felt like from the get-go, he set the tone to a high a level of energy and intensity. So, you know, like when you first started to go out there to the Sun Bowl and everything got started around 10:15 or whatever, there was, I would say, like over 1,500 fans. But then, you know, an hour passed, and I felt like the stands filled up considerably. It was a late-arriving crowd, understandably so. This is El Paso, and I felt like it was a really good turnout, better than I anticipated. If they had over 3,000 fans, which was reported, out at the Sun Bowl, I think that's a huge win for a spring game.
I do, too. I thought the crowd was great. And by the way, I thought there was about 1,000 or 1,500 sticking around to watch the second half because the other 1,500 was in line to get to get the merch at the garage sale.
Yeah, that video you posted was an eye-opener. In fact, I wonder how many people saw your video and made their decision on the spring garage sale based off that. Like, I'm not going to stick around. That line's too long. Or, oh, I need to get in line now.
Mm-hmm. Make sure that you're able to get your goodies. As far as my first takeaway, and Adrian and Alberto, I'm kind of interested to get yours too. Number one, first half. Let's just talk first half. I thought the defense was playing really well. I thought the defense was ahead of the offense. And I thought that, you know, we saw some picks. We saw some plays. We saw some pressure. I really liked, and I was impressed because, remember, that offense goes fast, 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 which means the defense has to go fast. I thought UTEP's D was in really good shape conditioning-wise and was very impressed with how they came out and looked in that first half.
Yeah, I felt like in the first half, some notable names. You could look at Brighton Thompson. He was applying a lot of pressure on the defensive line for the blue team on that D-line. I liked Tavita Tafuna. Also, mm-hmm. he was for the orange team. He was stuffing up the run and playing really well. And then at the cornerback position, A.J. Odoms. You know, I was talking to Cade McConnell. He said the guy who was the guy who was really tough to go up against was Odoms. He didn't even look his way, and I was in a comment that to Cade, like, hey, you want to try looking his way? No, he won't even look his way. AJ Odoms is that much of a ball hawk as a cornerback, and I think that's a testament to how well he's played over this spring.
I would agree with that. And you know, to me, the defense, you always want to think that the defense is going to be ahead of the offense, and that was kind of the case in the first half. Although I will say this, Cade coming down, scoring on his first possession, and then leading also UTEP to a field goal drive. I know they stalled on some of the other opportunities, and then they brought in some of the backup, the backup quarterbacks after that. I thought the first half was entertaining. I liked what I had a chance to see. And before even talking about the second half, Adrian, the offense is fast. I mean, there's no doubt about it. They move those plays quick. Although, you know, part of the reason they got those plays in so quickly was because they had coaches giving them those plays right there in front of them as they were going up and down the field. They're not going to have that luxury when it comes to the games. Although, now that they can actually use a communications device, I would think that absolutely the quarterbacks would want it. UTEP would want to use that for their quarterbacks, given how quick and how fast-paced this offense is.
They lived up to it, and I'll say that. I felt like at times, and it's understandable, right? But Skylar Locklear was fast. The offense felt faster for him, and he knows the plays. Like, this is not new to him for Austin Peay. Not to mention the skill position players. You look at Trey Goodman, yeah. That's an Austin Peay transfer. Javon Jackson, that's an Austin Peay transfer. Both those guys were on that Orange team, and they had success with the high-tempo offense.
Yes, they did, and you're right about that. But you know what? If you talk about the quarterbacks, by the way, let's do that right now in terms of the way those two played, different kind of quarterbacks. They really are. I feel like from just watching Cade and Skylar and seeing the way those two play, I'd never seen Skylar really in any game situation. I already know what Cade can do, and he did some of that on Saturday. I don't know what Skylar can do. So this was important for me because this was my first look at Skylar Locklear. Now, I'll say this. Athleticism checks the box. Speed checks the box. Passing wasn't as impressed. Number one, he has a sidearm delivery, and I've never really seen a UTEP quarterback throw sidearm, and I've been told he can throw from a variety of arm angles, including overhand, but when he's kind of being rushed, he'll sometimes sling it out there sidearm, which he did on Saturday. And I can't remember the last UTEP quarterback, if they've ever had one, who ever came into games with sidearm deliveries before. Look, Skylar did not have any touchdown passes. It was interesting. He was working with the number two offensive line and probably the number ones in terms of running backs and receivers. So you say to yourself, okay, how big of a drop-off is there between the number one O-line and the number two O-line? Maybe we had a chance to see that a little bit on Saturday. In comparison, Cade was working with the number one offensive line and the number two running backs and wide receivers. And I thought Cade put the ball where he always does, put it in a really good spot, threw one bad pass, which was the pick six in the second half. And I was so interested to see how he would come back from that. Because sometimes you throw a pick six in a game like this, and that could doom you. But he came right down the field in the next drive, got him in for a touchdown, got the ball back again, and took him down, and they scored on the final play of the game. So truthfully, you know, you look at Cade and say to yourself, all right, the pick six was bad, but he responded from it, and I was impressed with that. And I just feel like the offense moved better with Cade at quarterback than with Skylar. Again, first impression doesn't mean anything because there's a long time between now and September and a lot can happen between now and then. But Adrian, my takeaway was just the passing game in general was much more effective with McConnell out there than with Locklear.
Yeah, and I would also say this, like, and shout out to Brett Blomquist for these stats and Alberta for grabbing them as well. Cade, he was 24 for 32 unofficially, over 200 yards passing, three touchdown passes to one interception. That was the pick six. Skylar Locklear, 72 passing yards, 9 of 15, had his rushing yards as well and had the interception. So no touchdowns for Locklear. I would say this, like, based on the coaching decision, if they want to gear toward more of the run, the zone read, and really balance out a quarterback dual threat with a ground game that could be led by Javon Jackson and maybe somebody else if they end up getting somebody in the transfer portal through this offseason process or the next entry portal entry, then maybe they go with Locklear. But if they want somebody who has experience as a passer, then they should go with McConnell because at least from the spring ball period, I've realized that Cade is probably the better passer. Then Skylar's going to be the mobile guy, and if the coaches prefer the mobility and the dual threat side of things, they'll go with Locklear. I think
that's a great point. You're right. I guess it all depends on what the coaching staff wants. But here's my thing too: if you've got weapons like they have as far as receivers go, because you always say you've got speed. Well, guess what? If you've got one quarterback that can get the ball up and down the field pretty well, and the other one is more about making it with his own legs as opposed to with his arm and playmakers, you got to take that into consideration as well. This is a really interesting discussion because these two quarterbacks bring, at least in my mind, completely different skill sets to the table.
Yeah, it almost changes your identity as a team with your quarterbacks. If you get Cade, you get a pocket passer. If you get Skyler, you get a mobile and an agile dual threat quarterback. So it's on what you want and preference. I'll say this, Jaden Smith, he's the Eastern Kentucky transfer, war number 3. Man, I haven't seen the ball tracking ability from an undersized receiver like that since Jacob Cowing. And that's just the reality. Like, speed, athleticism. Look, you're going to look great in the spring game, especially if you're going up against the twos on defense. But it's a step in the right direction. Somebody who's dealt with durability issues. I like the flashes that Jaden Smith showed this weekend. Was my most notable surprise of the weekend.
We'll get Alberto's take in a little bit, 505-6009. Let's go first to Cruz. He joins us next on the phones. Hi, Cruz. How are you?
I'm doing okay, buddy. Hey, how many quarterbacks did they play in this game? I was not able to go, but they played four,
but really two of them, I would say, received about 80% of the snaps, and then the backups received probably about 20%.
Mm-hmm. And who's that quarterback that's the scrambler and throws sidearm? Is that Skyler?
Yeah, that's Skyler Locklear. That's correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know, for them to have played, I wish they'd played the third and fourth string quarterback a little more. But, you know, two quarterbacks just have scored as much as they did. And then you had, of course, you had running backs and the receivers contributing. Sounds like we got at least two real good first and second strings and probably good backups even behind them, you know. It's a good scoring game, and then the way it ended, from what I heard. How many people went, you know?
We heard about 3,000. About 3,000, Chris.
Wow. I wish there had been a lot more than that.
It was a good crowd, though. They had it only on the press box side. It looked good. The fans were there. It was much better than we expected.
Yeah, they were loud. Yeah. Well, you know, it sounds like we're a lot better this year, and there's enthusiasm. People around here, you know, you hear the name of UTEP more, and hopefully we won't lose too many players at the end of the season, and coach will bring in some good recruits and some good players that want to transfer in, but everything seems to be on the positive side, I'm having eye problems, so I can't go right now, but once I get this thing settled, I'm gonna see if I'm gonna start showing up, and I have a big mouth.
Good, I like that. Two things: you need good eyesight and a big mouth, and that'll go well for you. Cruz, appreciate the phone call. Thanks for getting in. Mike Franklin already went into the transfer portal yesterday, so that happened last night. Mike was a running back who was built like a tank. Didn't play much on Saturday during the spring game, and as we heard, having evaluations, and now he follows both Jake and Kyle McNamara into the portal.
Yeah, and one other name to mention, Dre Spriggs. He was the UTSA transfer who came in last season. Didn't play really at all, and there were some durability questions. There was also some questions about whether he would transfer after they made a coaching change. He stuck around, tried it out during the spring period. It didn't work out for him, evidently, and so he also entered into the transfer portal. The crowded running back group, Steve, I would say, look, Javon Jackson is their top guy. That's what I learned from over the weekend. He'll be running back number one. Behind him, you could say Azelle Jolly or Joshua Dye, who was a walk-on last year, and he played with the blue team, Cade's team, and I liked what he showed. He had some flashes on Saturday.
I agree. I like the running back room, though. They're deep, so that's the most important thing. And by the way, I didn't want to see the backups that much. I wanted to see the ones and twos because here's why, okay? Right now, Cade is battling it out with someone who is a redshirt freshman, played in that system last year, and this is really their first opportunity to play in this system at UTEP. You need to see more before you decide who's going to be your starter.
Yeah, and I think also the coaches need to see whether or not they need to go out and get a grad transfer. Like, do they have the right tools at the quarterback position in order to move forward? And that's why I wanted to see mostly Cade versus Skyler on Saturday. And I don't know what the coach's response to that will be. I think, from everything I heard from Cade when he called in, he was saying positive stuff from the coaching staff and feedback from the players. But, I mean, let's see what happens when they had their exit meetings from the spring.
Good point. 21 passed. We'll come back with more in a moment, so stay with us. Sports Talk continues right after Charlie One, who has this traffic update for us. All right, back here on Sports Talk as we continue right now. 505-6009. That is our telephone number. 505-6009. We have a pair of tickets to the Big El Paso Fair. It's going to be admission with mega passes to give away today. And I am excited about that because if anybody has been out to Escondite, you know the Big El Paso Fair is a big deal. And you're not just being able to get in. You're going to get the mega pass as well. Adrian, this is important stuff because I think people need to realize the Big El Paso Fair is a big, big deal.
Yeah, it really is, Steve. I love Escondite Park. I'm a huge fan of going out there. And I'll say this, I saw photos from the weekend. I gotta get my hands on some of that big fair food. It looks fantastic. And it looks like the rides are a lot of fun, too. So if you've got family, if you've got people in town, you got friends, it's a perfect place to go on a weekday, weekend, whatever it might be.
They have everything, by the way. Circus Wonderland, a magical adventure. The Majestic Spectacular going on as well. A foam zone, which is a bubbly paradise for kids where you can dive into mountains of eco-friendly foam. They got a lot happening right now. And it's from 5 to 11, Monday through Friday, Saturday and Sunday, 1 till midnight. And remember, the fair ends on Sunday. So you've got till this Sunday for the Big El Paso Fair. And we are going to be giving away tickets here, a pair of admission, and also to go along with that, the thing I'm excited about as well, and that is the mega passes, which get you into everything. So we'll do that here in just a few and give you the chance to win. We'll be giving away a pair of those each day this week. All right, Alberto, your takeaway from UTEP Spring. You heard Adrian talk about it. You heard me talk about it. What about you? What'd you get out of it?
I think the coaching staff definitely delivered with the speed that they brought to the offense, and I think that that's exciting to watch. And I think one of my bigger takeaways was all the recruits that they brought in. Did you see how many guys they had out on the field before the game?
Yeah, there was a ton of them. There were like 40 of them, and they even said a lot of them were juniors that came on their own dime, which is even more impressive.
Yeah, I think that's good news if you're a Miners fan. You want to hear them making noise in the recruiting department and having a big game like this with a big turnout. I think it was key. It was key for the coaching staff, and I think you can definitely chalk this up as a win, and not only because of the garage sale, but because of the turnout you had and the engagement that you had there with the spring game. And I think that, you know, talking football, like I said, the team looks a lot faster, and that's exciting, and the defense looked solid. But I was most excited by the quarterback competition that took place and how it finished there at the end.
How about the halftime? Do we like, guys, did we like the 40-yard dash, which I thought was really entertaining? Jadrian Taylor going up against, if I'm not mistaken, a longtime NFL DB.
Yeah.
who was a part of that as well.
Cornelius Brown, exactly. Yep. Right. Jadrian winning that by like a chest or whatever they said it was.
It was very close.
To me, it was, I mean, my favorite one was the throw.
Oh my God.
Trevor Vidito?
76 yards on a fly?
Like nothing.
Nothing. First off,
no warm-up.
Trevor's grown out his hair. He looks terrific. Vidito looks like he could still play, and he had the most effortless pass I've ever seen against poor Kavika Johnson, who had to try to match that. That wasn't easy. I thought Kavika did good, too.
Yeah, I thought Kavika was going to throw out his arm the way he was trying to launch it on that second attempt.
Mm.
Man, Trevor with no effort. I mean, shout out Irvin Rockets Football. They have a great one over there, and they're one of their assistant football coaches in Trevor Vidito.
They do.
Because if you can learn to sling it like him, I mean, yeah. I don't know if you could learn to sling it like him. I don't know many people who could sling it like him like that.
He's the all-time career passing leader, and here's what I think, okay? He's got to go out and defend his title every year at halftime for that throw. Don't you feel like that's the case?
Oh, this is a great call. This is a great idea. I think we need to make this happen. I was talking to A.J. Hodgkins, who was on the sideline with him. He said that when he shook Trevor's hand, that Trevor's hand totally took over his hand.
Like swallowed him.
Swallowed his hand whole.
Yeah, I believe it. By the way, you know what would be fun? Jordan Palmer going up against Trevor Vidito.
Wow, that would be awesome.
I want that next year.
I think if, like, Trevor actually warmed up, he might hit the other end zone.
Or, you know what else would be really good? I'd want to see Jameel Showers go up against Trevor Vidato.
Two great names. I mean, as far as arms go, you have all the arm strength right there. And then give it a couple years and bring back Gavin Hardison, then really have it.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
Yes. I would like to see that. I would really like to see that.
That would be fun. That would be a lot of fun.
Those guys all had cannons.
Heck, I'd like to see Calvin Brownlee and see what he could do.
Yeah.
Now let's also remember, and I need to say this, was the ball wind-dated?
Ooh, okay. Maybe.
Was it wind-dated? Was there some good wind at the time of that throw?
I was down on the field. I don't recall a lot of wind. But,
okay, good.
But when you're in that bowl, when you're in the Sun Bowl, inside on the field, you get that wind and one little whip, and you could get a little extra yardage there.
But you're right. I almost feel like Trevor Vidato, if he warmed up, could legitimately throw a 90-yard pass in the Sun Bowl.
Effortlessly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And make it look effortlessly, at least. Yeah, it was just really impressive. I was thinking to myself, wow, Kavika's going to win this. Like, is Trevor really sure he wants to do this? And then Trevor just shut me up big time.
Trevor's amazing. And you're right. If Trevor can take a football and basically make it look like a mini Nerf ball with his hands, that helps to throw a long pass. That really does.
Yeah, I think we need more of those long throws. I think that was one of the more successful ones. The 40-yard dash was very successful, too.
So. Tug of war? Do we like the tug of war?
I like the tug of war. I thought they got competitive with it. Did you?
I did. I did. Do we want El Paso Visuals and UTEP News next year in the tug of war?
Yeah, I think El Paso Visuals is going to have to try to get a couple of people on his side, maybe some people who are very pro journalists and stuff like that, and pro integrity for journalism integrity and stuff like that. And then it'll be sideline UTEP on the other side with UTEP News. Those two Twitter accounts going against them.
Be a good battle. Be a good battle. All right. We got more coming up, but we are at the middle of the show. Bottom of the hour. Let's get right back to Adrian. Here he is. SportsCenter next. Thank you very much. Let's get right back to it as Sports Talk continues. We'll say hello to Milkman, who is at the game and wants to talk to us here as we continue. 35 now past the hour. Milkman, how are you?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good, especially after that game on Saturday. That was, I got to tell you, I took my dad, my son. It was a blast. Like, that was the only spring game I'd ever attended. I mean, that's probably indicative of how everybody's feeling. Everybody's really excited and pumped. And that game helped with that. It was a blast. And seeing that throwing competition was just amazing, especially talking about how Trevor Vidato just hauled it like it was nothing.
Oh, yeah.
It was really, really cool. And I got to say, you were talking about the wind. The wind was actually, when it would come in gusts, it was going against the way he was throwing. So he might have even gotten further.
Oh, my God. That's insane. And I mean, that's crazy.
But I got to tell you, everybody is really, really excited. I mean, we were just sitting there in the stands when Coach Walden had the mic and he was being the MC and just, you know, lead cheerleader. And we're just looking at each other and all of us are going, this is our head coach. Like, this is our head coach. That's awesome, you know?
Yep.
And the thing is, you can feel it. You can feel it in the fans. You can feel it. It's just a different spirit now.
Right.
And, you know, whether that translates into wins, I don't know. But I mean, all over the country, teams that have a better attitude and may not have the better players beat people they're not supposed to all the time.
That's a good point.
So, you know, that's what I'm thinking.
I mean,
I'm
interested to see if this team can embody his personality on the field when they start up against Nebraska. Look, nobody's expecting them to beat Nebraska or Tennessee, right? I mean, those games are killer games. But you know what? They can go and compete against all the Conference USA teams, and I think that's going to be the biggest difference to see if this season becomes a success or not.
I agree completely, and who knows? I mean, hearing him on Sports Talk the other day, and he's like, you know, there was no goal too high for him. So that's what I want to hear in a head coach. You know, that's why we go to the games. So, you know, if his goals stay as high as that, and I mean, who knows what they can do? I mean, the future's looking really bright as far as I can see.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. What impressed you the most, besides Trevor Vidito's arm, which we were all talking about today, is there one, like, was there one thing that impressed you more than anything else?
So I can say the battle of the quarterbacks, I was impressed with, is it Locklear?
Skyler,
So I was impressed with him. However, I think it was still obvious to me that the starter is still going to be Kay McConnell. Even with that pick six, you know, he came back after that and, you know, ended up winning the game. I don't know. I mean, maybe something's going to happen that, you know, might change my opinion, but I think they got two good ones right there. So, you know, well, regardless of what the coach decides, I mean, they're both looking good to me.
We talked about it before we brought you on the show, and the funny thing about those two quarterbacks is they really have completely different skill sets. So Adrian said this earlier, and I agree with him. It all just depends on what the coaches want. Do they want that scrambling, running, more mobile quarterback, or do they want somebody that's more of a pocket passer that can put the ball on a dime to his receivers and try to really get the passing game going that way? Because I really was not impressed much with Skyler's passing. He didn't throw the ball that much, but that's all that Cade did. We know Cade's not a runner. We know that Cade is not somebody who's going to, you know, go out and do some of those things that maybe are out of his skill set. But you do know that Cade can throw the football. He can spin it, and he put it in the hands of a lot of guys on Saturday.
Yes, he did. That is absolutely true. And again, you know, you're watching two teams of both minor football players. So, you know, it's like, how do you root for one over the other? I was impressed, just all around impressed. I like the attitude. I like the atmosphere. I feel like we're being reborn here. So it feels great.
Awesome. Milkman, appreciate it, man. Thanks for the phone call. Did you make out at the garage sale or did you leave? What'd you do?
Okay, so we actually stayed for the whole game. So, of course, when we got in line, it was, oh, my God. We probably waited in line for like an hour. And by that time, we got up there and, you know, a lot of the, like, the jerseys were, like, the wrong size and stuff like that. So I found something I wanted to get. And then I'll be quite honest with you, I looked at the line to cash out, and I said, you know what? I'm sorry. We've been here too long. I hope UTEP made a lot of money. Unfortunately, we didn't stay and buy anything. But, you know, other than that, it was a good day.
They boxed a lot of that up, so you might get another shot at that the next time they do it.
All right. Well, that's good to know.
Appreciate you, Milkman. Thanks for the call.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Good stuff from somebody that was at the game and at the garage sale, and I gave him credit for sticking around an hour afterwards. That's really good. It's too bad he didn't take the Alberto philosophy, and that's get in the car, listen to Minor Talk, and then as soon as Minor Talk ended, drive back to the stadium and see what's going on.
Yeah, to Alberto's credit, I mean, he even texted me. He was like, hey, look, they've got some great stuff. You know, you can come out here. You could get all this stuff, and I did not take advantage of it, but those who made that decision to go a little later, I think they were, I think, pleasantly surprised. I think either if you were right up front or toward the end, I think that's probably the win.
That's a good point. All right. We've got about 20 minutes left to go in hour number two. Speaking of Alberto, he'll take you home with Adrian for the final hour of the show. I'll be with you till 6 o'clock today. 505-6009, that's our telephone number. Stay with us. More sports talk in a moment. 600 ESPN El Paso. Back here on Sports Talk as we continue. 10 in front of 6 right now. 505-6009, that is our telephone number. 505-6009. Stay with us. We're going to give you a chance to win those tickets to the Big El Paso Fair. Excited about that. That's coming up through Sunday out at Escondite. And we'll work on getting you all set up for that as well as we continue here on the program. Meanwhile, other news and notes that we have not yet discussed. The Jets basically gave away Zach Wilson today to the Denver Broncos. They gave him away. They gave him away for nothing. For zero.
Let me ask you this.
I consider a six-round pick zero, by the way.
Over, under, I agree with you. Over, under three more starts for Zach Wilson.
Say that again?
Over under 3 starts in the NFL for Zach Wilson.
For his career?
Yes.
I'll go over.
Okay, I'll take half a season then. Let's say 8 games.
Ooh. Under.
Okay.
What so about just, what about you?
I think that's probably right. Like maybe a handful of games left in his career. You know, somebody gets injured or whatever and he serves as a fill-in quarterback, and I think there were some teams out there who thought, "Oh, well, he could be our backup," and then they watched some film on Zach Wilson, they're like, "Ugh, never mind. He can't be our backup." So, it's kind of interesting how the 2021 quarterbacks are all gone except for Trevor Lawrence. He's the only one who stayed with the team that drafted him. Justin Fields is no longer there. Trey Lance is no longer there.
That's true.
Mac, what's his name? Who was with Mac Jones? Yeah, who's with the Patriots? I couldn't think of his name.
What a bust of a quarterback class.
I know, and everybody traded up for him. So it brings us to this year's draft, right, Steve? Because all the talk is, well, wait, do you want to trade in the top 5 to get J.J. McCarthy? There could be 4 quarterbacks taken in the top 5.
He is the perfect Sean Payton project. The perfect Sean Payton project.
That's interesting. That's an interesting
thought. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I think so. And probably the type of quarterback he likes. You know, he can administer a run first approach with J.J. McCarthy if he wanted somebody like that.
And look, they gave nothing away. What'd they give? They gave the Jets a 6th round pick, got the Jets 7th round pick, and they're splitting Zach Wilson's salary this year of like $2.75 million. I mean, that's like basically getting him for nothing.
That's get him out of the locker room because Aaron Rodgers is our guy. And even if Aaron Rodgers isn't our guy, then we need a better plan B option than getting Zach Wilson back.
Ah, okay. All right. Interesting. All right. Let's see here. 505-6009 if you want to talk about that. If you're I bet if you're a Broncos fan, you're pretty happy. I would think.
For nothing, you get Zach Wilson. The worst that's going to happen is he rides the bench for the rest of his career in Denver. Best case scenario, you have something in a cheap quarterback, right? Like you have something, and maybe you could build on something in the future with him.
Yep. Did you see what happened today with the Yankees and Aaron Boone?
Yeah, why was he so upset, man?
So here's what happened, okay? 5 pitches into the game, There was a play where former Chihuahua, Estoy Ruiz, remember him?
Yeah, I do.
He was hit by a pitch on an 0-2 count. The pitch hit him on the foot, but the Yankees dugout thought Ruiz swung at it. So, as a result, Boone communicated his, feelings, and home plate umpire Hunter Wendelstedt replied. Wendelstedt yelled at Boone, which, by the way, on the broadcast says, "You're not yelling at me. I did what I was supposed to do and checked. I'm looking for him to get hit by the pitch. You got anything else to say? You're gone." That was like right at the start of that, right? One pitch later, Wendelstedt ejects Boone. But here's what happened. Somebody yelled by the Yankee dugout at the umpire, and Hunter Wendelstedt thought it was Aaron Boone, but it was actually a fan. Boone didn't say anything. He actually said zero. He was just listening. And then all of a sudden, Wendelstedt gives him the hook because he thought that Aaron Boone said something to him, but it was actually a fan.
Oh, that's a tough error right there by the umpire. I mean, to not recognize that or to have that kind of short fuse right there and then this to backfire. That's why you don't do it if you're the ump, right? You kind of have a little bit more grace early on into the game.
Yep.
And then maybe issue one more warning instead of something like that.
That's right. And Boone yelled back at him, "What do you mean you don't care? I did not say a word. It was above our dugout. BS, BS," which, by the way, was actually not BS on the audio. You could hear what he said. "I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything. Hunter, I did not say a effing thing," was what came out of Boone's mouth. Then the audio went silent as Boone started getting more and more upset with the home plate umpire, Hunter Wendelstedt. The Yankees lost the game 2-0, but I've never seen an umpire run a manager for something that was actually said by a fan.
Yeah, and Wendelstedt's not like a newbie. He's a veteran in the sport.
Long time. Been around a long time. Anyway, it was an interesting topic. All right, 2 hours in the books, one to go. You want to go to the Big El Paso Fair and get the mittens? What caller do we need?
Let's do caller number six.
Caller six wins them right now. 505-6009. That's 505-6009. We're coming back for our final hour of Sports Talk next. 600 ESPN El Paso.